When I was a kid, before I graduated from college, when I was in college and even in high school, I worked numerous jobs at numerous places. One of the places I worked was a gas company that ran gas lines. It was called Natural Fuel Gas, and our office was located over near Clarion, Pennsylvania. And we did all kinds of things. We would go to residential areas and replace meters on houses. We would go in those little gray buildings that are out in the middle of nowhere with the regulators and stuff. We painted those, did stuff like that. We laid mainline down through Madison Avenue in Brookville, ran a jackhammer on a brick street. You haven't run a jackhammer till you've run it on a brick street. That's a real treat to do that sort of thing. And that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that kind of work, but it taught me that I really wanted a college education. Additionally, I worked at Hanley Brick Plant in Somerville, Pennsylvania. And I worked there two different summers. One summer, our job was to rebuild the kill cars that took the bricks through the furnaces. And the second summer I worked there, we rebuilt one of the kilns. While I was there, by the way, we made bricks for a guy that nobody knew his name, Donald Trump. He was building some big thing in Atlantic City. We didn't really know, but that's where our bricks were going. Somebody's building something in Atlantic City. Well, you know what that is. That would be all of the Trump extravaganza that is there in Atlantic City. His bricks came right out of Pennsylvania clay here. And I worked on that system as well. Then when I was in college, I worked for Lamb Electric, and I can remember we worked on wiring new houses, wiring old ones, hanging fixtures in houses, and replacing things like that. And it didn't matter whether I was replacing a gas meter, or if I was repairing a kill car in a factory, or if I was installing a light fixture in someone's home. It seemed to me that there was always someone on the job who had this expression they would say. They would say, "That's good enough for the girl I go with." Have you heard that expression? How many have heard that expression? Put your hand up. Yeah, mostly just the guys. Yeah. That's good enough for the girl I go with. I'd never heard that before. And I loved it. Because I love those kind of catchy phrases, you know, and I say those things, those kind of things all the time. And I kind of adopted it as my own. Ah, that's good enough for the girl I go with. Until one time I said it in front of the girl I was going with. She didn't think it was very funny at all. Now, you know why she didn't feel it was funny. You know why that would be offensive to the girl I go with. Because the phrase, "that's good enough for the girl I go with," is kind of like saying, it's not as good as it could be. I could do a much better job than this, but hey, she don't care. She'll be fine with that. The girl I go with, she'll accept whatever I give her. In fact, I can just go ahead and pursue mediocrity in whatever I do when it comes to that girl. Now, the girl I go with now is Laurel. And she will accept pretty much whatever I do, as long as I do not do it half-heartedly. She expects my best. She wants my best. She desires my best. I wonder if God's that way. Do you think God desires our best? There's a story that's told in the Bible. It's King David, and he has just built himself a beautiful palace. He has cedar paneling. Ah, have you smelled fresh cedar? Ah, that's great. David is in his palace, and this thought occurs to him. After David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan, the prophet, "Here I am living in a palace of cedar, while the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is under a tent." Now you know the Ark of the Covenant, that housed the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that budded, some manna, but more importantly, that is where the presence of God was manifested. And David is saying, I should not have this great house that I live in, while God doesn't have that kind of thing, because that which we give to God should be our best. That which we give to God, that is what should be excellent. And this verse that is on the screen a moment ago, that verse right there, it always seems to come up during building programs, you know? Like, hey, we're building a church, and why should the Ark of the Covenant be in a tent when I have this nice house? And that's good. I like that. I feel it's a little bit trite, maybe, and I don't think we ever used it when we built the addition. I don't think we did. I tried not to. And here's why. Because I feel like that verse applies to more than just a building project. I feel like that verse applies to all of our life. That all of our life should be excellently lived for God. Some months ago, several leaders from Kerwinsville Alliance, along with some others, met together. We kind of put together, who are we, what are we about, what are we doing? And we verbalized an identity statement that you should know by now. It's an alphabetical order, the God, life, people part, or you can think gulp if you need to, if you're trying to memorize, right? But it goes like this. It goes, Kerwinsville Alliance, real God, real life, real people. I love that. Every time I say it, every time I see it, every time I hear it, I love it even more. I love that identity statement. Laurel and I were visiting her family in Georgia. We stopped to see her brother. We were at her brother's house. And he said, hey, Steve, I get on your website sometimes. I said, really? I love it. I love your church. Sometimes I listen to your sermons, and I can't really explain what it is, but just your website and your sermons, it feels like it's real, like it's authentic. I'm like, yeah, we nailed it, right? That is who we are, real God, real life, real people. Doesn't mean we don't struggle, doesn't mean we don't doubt, doesn't mean sometimes we're not phony, sometimes we really blow it, but this is who we want to be. We want to be real, we want to be authentic. Now, the group that worked with the values came up with several values. Four of them are on the screen before you right now. The first one is, we're bridge builders. The second one is, we build men who love God. The third one is that we grow best together. The fourth one is we pray about everything. And the fifth one is this, we pursue excellence in whatever we do. We pursue excellence in whatever we do. And that's because we understand that everything that we have and everything that we are comes from God. It comes from Him. And so we really press on, we push, we strive to use what we have and who we are to serve other people and to glorify God. We want Him to be glorified with our lives. Now, you may be asking, why excellence? Well, I guess part of the answer is that the Bible teaches us to pursue excellence, or at least to think on it. One of the passages that you may have learned years ago, or maybe you're going to be learning it now, is from Philippians 4:8. The Apostle Paul is writing to Christians. He's about two-thirds of his way through his letter that he's writing, and he gets to the word finally. He's a lot like your pastor. When you think he's done, he's only two-thirds of the way done. But he says this. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. And then catch this. He says, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now understand this for a moment. When the Bible says to think about excellence, it is speaking of the excellence of God. In fact, I did a little bit of a word study on the word excellence. And over again, as it applies to God, it applies to His holiness, His amazingness, His incredibleness. I know those aren't words, but use them anyway, okay? It's talking about God when it speaks of excellence. So when I'm telling you to, or when Paul is telling them here, to think on what is excellent and praiseworthy, they're not saying, hey, think about Pedro Alvarez. I mean, he's an excellent home run hitter. He was in the home run derby. Pastor, I've been thinking a lot about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. I watched 18 innings of baseball today. That's all right. Go ahead and do that, because I've watched a lot of hockey in the past week or so, right? But that's not what we're talking about. That's not what Paul is talking about. When the Bible speaks of anything excellent or praiseworthy, it's connecting that with God, and anything that you recognize is holy. Before the service, Kurt and Brennan and Mandy were back there together. And I don't know if you noticed this or not, but Mandy's expecting. She's showing. Can you tell? Okay. And they're back there and they're talking about, Kurt's talking about when his children were born. Holy moment, Kurt? Yeah. Wow. When my kids were born, it wasn't popular to say this, but it would have fit. I would have looked at that. I did look at that. And I would have said, shut up. Oh, just shut up. That's excellent. That's praiseworthy. That's holy. Several thousand men on a mall in Washington, D.C. at a Promise Keepers event, two of them with their kids, their boys along with them, more than two, bowing on our knees. My face was on the grass, praying before God. That's excellent. That's praiseworthy. I don't know, 10 or so guys from Kermansville Alliance jumping into vehicles and headed down to the wildfire weekend, not just to see Jace Duckman and not just to learn how to clean their guns or whatever else we're going to do, but to learn about how to grow to be more godly. That's excellent. That's praiseworthy. Baptism, a wedding, visiting with an old friend, discovering a new friend. All of these things are excellent and praiseworthy, and their excellence is connected with the holiness of the moment, which is connected with the holiness of God. You see, excellence is important because excellence actually reflects who God is. It kind of shows us who God is. In fact, Henry Morris, over 100 years ago, put together this list of the excellencies of God or the perfections of God. And he noticed this, he said, God's creation is excellent. You can think of that. When God was finished creating, after every day, he says, it is good, it is good, it is good. And then when it was all over with, it says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. He creates with excellence. God's word is excellent. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. And God's work is excellent. Deuteronomy 32 says, he is the rock, his works are perfect. You hear people say from time to time, God don't make no junk. Have you heard that? And he made me, so I'm not junk. True that, yeah. That's right on, isn't it? You liked the true that, didn't you? My wife says I'm not allowed to say that. She thinks I'm old or something. I like saying that. God's works are excellent, and his ways are excellent. Psalm 18 says, his way is perfect, for the word of the Lord is flawless. And his will is excellent. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Listen to the next words. His good, perfect, and pleasing will. His will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's excellent. Everything is excellent about God. That has not always been the case with the church. There were times in history when things that the church did were excellent. Have you seen Michelangelo's David? Wow! Excellent. Sistine Chapel. Excellent. In 1981, Francis Schaeffer's son, Frankie Schaeffer, wrote what I believe was his first book. Laurel and I bought it because we love Francis Schaeffer. And I can remember in that book, the title of it was Addicted to Mediocrity. And it was an indictment against the church and how mediocre we become in so many things that we do. Let me read to you just a little bit from what he says in maybe the opening chapter or two of that book. Today, and remember, he's writing in 1981. How many years ago is that? 89? That's 30 years ago, right? He says this, today, Christian endeavor in the arts is typified by the contents of your local Christian bookstore accessories paraphernalia shop. For the coffee table, we have a nice set of praying hands made out of some sort of pressed muck. And if that weren't enough, a toothbrush with a Bible verse stamped on its plastic handle, and a comb with a Christian logo or two impressed upon it. Now that's good stuff for a prize box in a VBS week, you know, or for Sunday school week. But it's not excellence. It's not excellence. Everything about God is excellent. And a basic teaching of Christian faith is that we are supposed to represent God in this world. My life verse is on the screen before you. Listen as I read it. It says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are his representatives. We are the representatives of the most excellent one. So we proclaim God's excellence in what we say. We tell people about Jesus. We talk about His love. We warn about His judgment, but we explain His grace. And we invite people to know Him. That's what that verse is saying. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. But think about this for a moment. Telling people about God's excellence without demonstrating any pursuit of excellence, that would seem a little inauthentic, wouldn't it? It would seem just a little bit phony, I think. And that is why we pursue excellence in what we do. Not that we ever attain perfection, but we believe that with God's help, we see glimpses of excellence. When I write a sermon for Kerwinsville Alliance, I never say, well, it's not like I'm in Manhattan. I'm at Kerwinsville Alliance. This is good enough for Kerwinsville Alliance. I strive for excellence in preaching. I can remember one time, this is just a little aside. This is probably 15 years ago. I don't remember now. This gentleman came to me, and he's a friend of mine. He's a good man. We're friends to this day. He came, he said, I need to talk to you privately. And I said, great. And we went back the hall into one of the rooms. This is before the addition was built. Sat down, and he says, your sermons aren't making it for me. I said, okay. Tell me what you mean. Well, they're just not connecting with me. I just can't get them, man. And I'm not getting anything. Your sermons aren't good enough for me. And I just looked at him and I said, man, I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. This is all I can do. I strive for excellence every Sunday. You probably need to find another church. And he did. How about that, you know? And that's okay. I told you we were friends. He was friends enough to tell me that. And we're friends to this day. He's a good man. But understand that whatever we do, we try to pursue excellence. When we present music, we never say, oh, that's good enough for the people of Clearfield County. They don't need opera anyway, right? We never do that. We pursue excellence. Whether it's the group that led worship this morning, or me and Margaret and Gail. When I sing up here, man, I'm not good at leading songs. But I do the best I can for the people who are here because I am pursuing excellence. By the way, have you ever seen me singing and I'm doing this? How many have seen me do that? Yeah, right. You know why I'm doing that? I'm a little bit hard of hearing. And if you can't hear the notes you're singing, then the notes you're singing probably aren't the ones you expect them to be. Okay? Yeah. Why do I do that? Because we pursue excellence in whatever we do. Our teachers who lead small groups, they don't say, this is for Clearfield County people. It's not like I'm dealing with some elite people in corporate America. They don't do that. All our small group leaders work hard to do the best that they can do because we pursue excellence. And here's how we strive for excellence. The values before you, it says, we pursue excellence in whatever we do. Everything we have and are comes from God, so we strive to use it well to serve others and glorify Him. So take it apart. We do this through pursuit. We pursue excellence. And we're not saying we are excellent. We're not even saying we expect excellence. What we're saying is we're constantly pushing for that excellence. And it reminds me of the Apostle Paul's words in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians 3:14, Paul's writing, and he says this. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself to take hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I strain toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, as soon as I refer to that verse, we automatically know that Paul's talking about his personal character. He's talking about his walk with Christ. He's talking about his personal holiness. He's talking about his spiritual development. Yeah, that's what he's talking about. But it is appropriate to apply this to all we do in the name of Jesus. Not just our personal development. If we are Christ's ambassadors, then we want to resemble Him in whatever we do. We live out this value by pursuing excellence. And we do this in everything. Whatever we do this. Children's ministry, we pursue excellence. By the way, let me say this. Bethany Livergood's not here, is she? She's in children's ministry. Tell her I said this because she likes it when I say stuff like this. We always need children's workers. We always need children's workers. And I think sometimes a hesitation about being a children's worker is, man, Pastor Steve's servants are so excellent, I don't think I want to go do children's work. Nah, I'm just kidding. But sometimes we don't want to miss the service, right? But Bethany is pointing out and has pointed out that we have a service at 8 o'clock. You can come in and attend that service, get blessed by God there, and then you can do children's ministry in this service. Why do I ask you to do that? Because we care about kids. Well, can't we just do like a half-hearted children's ministry? Why don't we have the kids just sit here and feed them Cheerios like my mom did to me? Here's why. Because we pursue excellence in children's ministry. We pursue excellence in adult ministry. We give our teachers the resources they need. Sometimes a teacher will call and say, hey, you know, I'm thinking of doing this thing, but good night, the DVD is $250. Get it. If you'll use it, get it. Because we pursue excellence in adult ministry. In teen ministry, we pursue excellence. Judy Sunderland said to me, Pastor Steve, I came in Sunday night and Velocity was here. Where did all those kids come from? That was amazing. Just amazing. Thank God for that, huh? We pursue excellence in that. You know what else Judy said, men? She said, and I couldn't believe the number of men that were with those teens. Oh, that's cool. That rocks my world. We ought to make that a value, that we build strong men. What do you think? Bridge building. We're doing this outreach. You know, the kids have the things, or to take them, give them to their friends and so on. And we're going to get, what are we doing with our feet in Jell-O? Something like that? That just sounds exciting to me, you know? Yeah. By the way, when Jeff Spade did the prayer in the early service, he said, God, hearing about that, it makes me want to be a kid again. I wish that I could do that. So maybe get Jeff some marbles and Jell-O and deliver it to him. I don't know. Why do we do that? Because we pursue excellence in bridge building. We do. Supporting international workers. Why do we bring an international worker in a few weeks ago? Put up all those flags, have all those dinners, have everything else, because we pursue excellence in international ministry. We pursue excellence in everything we do, and we're Christ's ambassadors. We do this carefully and courageously. Now, the value doesn't say that implicitly. Explicitly, rather, but it does implicitly. It says everything we have and everything we are comes from God. So we want to use it well. We need to steward what we have because it actually belongs to God. So this really applies to how we spend God's money, how we use God's building, how we use God's time, how we use God's lives, which are the ones we're living individually and corporately. And there's two things we don't want to be. Number one, we don't want to be fearful because we don't want to take that talent and bury it because we know you're a hard man and demanding, reaping and sowing. We don't want to bury that, but we don't want to be careless with it either. And so we do this carefully and courageously. We don't want to waste our talent. We manage our church affairs and finances courageously and carefully. And we live out this value by striving. We do this actively. Bob Livergood tweeted this past week a quote from Matt Chandler, which was about salvation, and it says, Christianity is not about doing, it's about done. And I love that quote. First heard that from Bill Hybels probably 30 years ago. It's not about what you do in order to be saved. It's not about what you do in order to make God happy with you. It's not about what you do in order to avoid hell. It's not what you do in order to earn heaven. That has all been done by Jesus on the cross. He said, it is finished. It's done. It is done. And because when I turn from my sin and say, oh God, forgive me a sinner, and I trust in His finished work on the cross, because of the change that brings about in my heart, then I do things as a response to His love, not in order to get Him to love me. And so we're actively doing these things because we're forgiven. We're doing these things because we're redeemed. And doing these things takes work. Sometimes it demands study. You're going to teach a small group? You better do your homework, because someone's going to ask you that question So Joseph, was he Jesus' stepdad, or what was going on there? You know, you want to have an answer for that, right? It takes study. It takes money. It takes energy. It takes practice. Man, the musicians practice in our church a lot, a lot. Used to annoy me because I was so immature that my wife would always be playing the piano when I'm trying to do something else. She's playing the piano, she's playing the piano. One time I was on hold with a tech support company regarding something to do with my computer back when they had telephone tech support. And this woman said, "Is that a piano in the background?" I said, "Yeah, my wife's practicing." "Oh, you work where you can hear live piano music? Oh, you are so lucky." It changed my whole perspective, you know? My whole perspective. She plays for hours and hours, practice. These guys do too. Why? Because we're pursuing excellence, and we know that to do that actively, that requires hard work. And we do this to serve others. Everything we have come and are comes from God, so we strive to use it well to serve others. Let me just ask you, this is kind of an ugly part of the sermon. I don't like talking this way, but let me do it anyway. Have you ever seen someone doing ministry to gain attention? You ever seen it happening for the wrong reasons? It's really ugly, isn't it? Have you been to a Bible study where the teacher is there to show you how much she or he knows and you don't? Oh, not fun. That's not striving for excellence. Have you been to a church where the preacher wanted to show you how clever he was and how cute he was and how just perfect he was? Wow. That's not striving for excellence. That's striving to build up yourself. Have you been to a worship service where the worship leader, oh, wow, that just wasn't pretty. I can remember when I was a kid, for a while we had an organist in our church. When she played the organ, you know, she's sitting there at the organ, and she went back and forth and back. And you know what Dad and Mom and I called her, right? Captain Nemo. That's what she looked like, you know? And it was just drama. I mean, the whole church was riveted. Look at her, all over the place, you know. But that wasn't really worship, I don't think. I hate to judge her, and I'm sorry for having done that, but it just didn't look like worship to anybody. It looked like self-promotion. That's what it looked like. We don't pursue excellence so people say, "Wow, that church has such a great children's ministry. Wow, that pastor preaches so well. Wow, that music is so great in that church." We do it to S-E-R-V-E-O-T-H-E-R-S. You got that? We do it to serve others. And look at the last two words there. To glorify Him. To glorify God. To exalt Him. This is a value of Kerwinsville Alliance. We don't want to be pretty good. That's not what we're looking to be. It really should be the value, not just of Kerwinsville Alliance, but of every Christian. Imagine something other than this value. Maybe, I don't know that this is the opposite, but just listen. I don't have this written down, so just listen. Imagine if this was our value. We pursue mediocrity in everything we do. Boy, that's attractive, isn't it? Everything we have and are comes from God, so we're not really concerned about how it turns out. His thoughts on how we use it. Crazy, right? That's goo-goo talk, right? So as we conclude, I want you to think about your own life. And I want you to give some thought to your own pursuit of excellence. And I want to ask you some pointed questions, okay? Are you pursuing excellence in your prayer life? You have a pretty good prayer life? Is it good enough for the God you worship? Whew. Boy, that kind of tells it like it is. Told you they were pointed questions, didn't I? Pursuing excellence in your interaction with your church family. Are you pursuing excellent relationships with the people who you worship with on Sundays? Are you pursuing excellence in your Bible reading? Or do you struggle with the same thing I struggle with? I got to get this reading done because I'm on this one-year plan and I've got to preach on it tonight, you know? I don't want to be that. I want to pursue excellence in that. Are you pursuing excellence in your contribution to what God is doing in your church family? I did something this past week. I went to a church that I don't preach in. I don't do that real often. I'm sitting there, and the offering plate came by. And I did something that probably everybody has done. I put a dollar in it. And afterward, I thought, what was that? It just felt kind of weird to me. I'd never thought about it before. I've done that for years and years when I go to a church that I'm not in, reach in my billfold and throw a dollar into the offering. Why? So I have something to put in? I'm not the widow. That's not my might. If I were, that would be great. But I'm not. Why did I do it? I don't know. I'm not doing any excellence in giving here. I'm just throwing a dollar in, you know? But it's not about money, and that's not what I'm talking about. It's about everything. In your contribution to the kingdom of God, in time, in energy, in effort, in finances, in everything, are you pursuing excellence? What about biblical literacy? Hey, honey, did you hear? They're having that Bible memorization program at church. Did you hear about that? Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah. I'm glad those kids are learning that stuff. Good night. That's not excellence in biblical literacy, is it? Not at all. Are you satisfied living a mediocre Christian life? Let's pursue excellence in everything we do. Because everything we have and everything we are comes from God. So let's strive to use it well and to serve others and glorify Him. Because Kerwinsville Alliance, this is what you're doing as a body. And this is what we all want to do, both individually and corporately. Let's pray to that end, okay? Why don't you stand with me? And as the musicians come, let's unite our hearts, asking God to help us to live out this value even more. Let's bow our hearts together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the excellence of yourself, that you are the Most High God who created an excellent planet, who created an excellent world for us to live in, and who has blessed us with many, many things that are beyond our understanding. Words are too small to express your greatness, your perfection, your glory, your grandeur, your awesome nature, your excellence. You have called us to be your ambassadors. That is, you have called us to be individuals who represent you to this world. And if you are excellent, then we need to pursue excellence. So as we look at our own lives, God, help us to do just that. Help us pursue excellence in ministries we do inside the church body. Help us to pursue excellence in ministry we do outside of this church body. Help us to pursue excellence in the workplace, in our families, in our friendships, in our social activities, everywhere. Not so people look at us and say, wow, those people are excellent, but so that we can serve others well and glorify you. This is our heart's desire. You are making it so. We trust you to continue to make it so. In Christ's name, amen.